Thank you for your presence that has descended upon us. Thank you for the spirit of prayer that you have released upon us. We are all persuaded that unless we collect the endowment from power from on high, we can see that the enemy is waiting with all his gimmicks to see whether we will again bring disgrace to the name of the Lord. But this morning we are asking that as we rise, marching to collect and possess the gate, we ask that your spirit will come upon us. As we have prayed and we are still praying, let the heavens be opened. Let the heavens be opened upon our heads. We are a generation that are determined to bring the King of Glory to the gates. So Lord, everything that is required, release it upon us, Lord. Thank you because you will do much more than we can ask or imagine this morning. Lord, we want you to open our understanding to have a clarity of what you are sending us out to go and do. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. We are coming to a very critical point in our study and in our meeting. And I want to thank God for the word of God that has already come to us this morning. If you are listening carefully, the devotional challenge that came to us from the book of from the life of Joshua chapter 1, as our brother brought it again, as if there's an emphasis. You know, yesterday when our brother Vilakati led us to pray, he drew issues from that same Joshua. And this morning again, God has drawn that same issue from the devotional challenge, again from the life of Joshua, talking about when now God is saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. There must be a ready hand. There must be a ready soldier. A ready one as a replacement son. It is not on the day of battle that God will have to be going up and down in the bush looking. There must be arrows prepared, sharpened in his quiver that he can take to the gates. And as Sister Joanna brought us to the place of prayer uproar, you will know that the Holy Spirit actually was crying out that if Jesus, who knew that very soon, even the voice of John the Baptist in the land would soon be silenced, he knew he had to get ready. And he knew he had to be endued with power from on high. And he was ready to meet every requirement, to fulfill every righteousness, so that at the time of need, he will not be found wanting. And so this morning, as I put all of that together in my spirit, it's clear to me that God is asking us to arise and get ourselves ready, because the gates actually are waiting. Announcement has gone already in the kingdom of darkness that there is a group of people, young men are coming. When Goliath was boasting and shouting, the children of Israel were looking helpless. And the Philistines was boasting as if, yes, you will be all one, not knowing that there is a man. There was a young man prepared that had been anointed. Even though he doesn't have all the sophisticated weapon, but he had what it takes to bring down the head of Goliath. All we are asking God, in this day of reproach, in this day when the children are brought to the place of birth, and there is no strength to bring them forth, and the master calls for you, may you not be found wanting. So this morning, there are two issues that I left off yesterday when we were going on, which I intend to carry further in order for us to get to the point of launching out. And I will be wanting to look at that necessary hastened preparation to get ready for the gate. It has to be hastened because the time is now short. It has to be intensive because the enemy himself is furious. It has to be urgent because the set time for God to do what he says he will do, the promise he made unto our Lord Jesus Christ, I will make your enemies your footstool, the set time for it, we sense it has come. There's an urgency that God is calling all over the earth for men and women, particularly men and women in the dew of their youth, who will be ready. Say, in the day of your power, your people shall be willing. And so we're going to read a few scriptures, and then I'll go further to look at that preparation. That, you know, yesterday, several of our leaders whom God brought to speak to us, they spoke about the need for your own discipleship to be accelerated, to be concerted, to be effective. They spoke about you being set for the gates. So this morning, we're reading a few scriptures together, and I'm trusting that God will help us to tie all this together as the Lord begins to lead us. We will start again. We'll start again from the promise that we have been walking through. The promise actually is the premise for our expectation. Because God, who cannot lie, has made a promise, we have a reason to believe him for what he says he will do. So I want to repeat, just to read it again, to refresh your mind and to know that this is what God has said. And he said, by myself, Genesis chapter 22, I read verse 16, said, by myself have I sworn, says the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and have not withheld your son, thy only son, that in blessing, I will bless you. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Permit me to read that one more time. I just want to read it, believing that it will begin to hook in your spirit. By myself have I sworn, says the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I'll bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. In multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth. Emphasis this morning on all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. We ended yesterday by noting that the one key issue that God needs to train our lives in for him to back us up and for him to take us to the gate is the issue of obedience. Disobedience was what took away the gate from the hand of the man that God created to man the gate. Disobedience was what Satan rode upon to collect and to usurp this authority by which he now set up his principalities and powers and all of that. And as we were looking in the night yesterday, as Sister Shade was bringing us the instruction about the fact that possessing the gates is spiritual warfare, we again came to discover that unless our own obedience is complete, we cannot punish the disobedience that is going on at the gates. So the key issue that I'm trusting God to establish with you is that God needs to raise a generation of men and women who are obedient unto him, even if it is unto death. Men and women who will take God by his word. Say, because you have obeyed my voice, I will do this also. I swore by myself. So I said the ordinance that governs the new Christian life, that will make this seed to possess the gate of his enemies, and will make this seed to be the channel through which all the nations of the earth will be blessed, is that they are a people that are perfected in obedience. And we said, even though Jesus was a son, he had to learn obedience, even when obedience meant suffering. And that it is as he was matured, or is complete, or is perfected in that act of obedience, that God now made him the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. So let's quickly note here that the authority that can dislodge the powers at the gate is the authority of the life, of the seed life, of the life. The life will carry, no longer I that live, or Christ that lives in me. But that life must be a life just in the manner in which Jesus was. We have also come to perfect in obedience. Where our obedience is not complete, we only give the devil a little more space to brag against our God and to keep holding onto the gates, to keep holding and placing people, here and there to man gates as if he is the owner. So this morning, as God will give us opportunity to pray together and to begin to set our heart, this promise is still subsisting. That is, this promise is still standing, is active. And I hear God saying, I'm about fulfilling that promise in this generation again. I will multiply thy seed. There's going to be a multiplication in all your centers and in all the places where we are gathered. God is rising up to multiply this seed as the stars of heaven. That even each one of you, as you are sitting down listening, God is going to multiply that seed, not only in your life, but through you. It's going to spread to such a point that no one will be able to number. Just as you cannot number the sand of the seashore, so it will be impossible for anybody to number what God is about to do now. Now, I'll read the next passage, which I have been reading and reading. I'm reading all of that because as we go on, each of it is unfolding what God is about to do. You know, we read Psalm 24, and I think we must read it again before we press on again. Now, in Psalm 24, we had already established that the earth is the Lord's. So let's take note that when we say we are going to take over the gates, we are not usurping anything. We are only collecting what belongs to our Father. And we have the mandate. He has given us authority to so do. So the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So it is not wrong if you go out from this meeting and you are rooting for the gates. There's nothing wrong about it. It's correct. It's the right thing to do because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. But now the question that we have been sorting out since the Lord brought us, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in the holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Now, that gives us the definition of the kind of people we can take to the gate. And yesterday morning, when our brother Lulamile class was bringing the devotional challenge, he came on this. And I realized that God is saying, unless you carry the seed that can win the battle, unless you carry the seed that can possess the gate, unless you carry the seed that has the capacity to subdue the enemy, unless you are that generation, said this is the generation of them that seek him, the generation of them that seek your face. It is the generation of the new creation, the holy nation that God has been talking to us about, that can rise and go to the gate. It is this generation that God has been preparing, is recruiting, is bringing up to himself, preparing to take them to the gates. Now, this generation, I want you to see what they are going to demand for at the gate. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. So I want you to note that, just like we said yesterday, we are only going to be carriers. We are only going to be the containers. We are going to be the vessel. The one that we are taking to the gate, actually, is the King of glory at work in us. The one that is going to rule and reign at every gate, every gate, every gate, is the Lord who is at work in us. Is the one that we have decided to carry on our lives, in our lives, to the gate. And they say, who is this King of glory? Who is this King of glory? He said, the Lord, strong and mighty. Strong and mighty. The Lord, strong and mighty. So yesterday we began to note that the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are not ordinary. They are not physical. They are not natural. They are mighty through God. Actually, to the pulling down of stronghold. So when we get to the gate, it is Him. I want to reemphasize that it is Him. It is Christ in you that is the hope of glory. It is Christ at work in you that is going to take over the place. But He needed a container. He needed a vessel that He can take, that can carry Him to the gate. So what's our demand at the gate? What's our demand at the gate? When you get to anywhere and it dawns on you that now I am here to bring the King of glory to take over. Now, I'm going to now look at what that will mean. How do we get at it? As the Lord will be helping me to quickly address this right away. Now, the first thing is that because it is not you, I want you to stop thinking about your own personal limited resources. It is not you, it is Him. At best, you are only but a carrier. You are only at best a vessel, a container. You are His ass that He wants to ride onto the gates. But the truth of the matter is that He cannot be at the gate without you carrying Him there. That's where the conflict or the complication comes. If He is not finding a body that can carry Him there, then it is as if He cannot go there. So this is why the first requirement that we have been looking at is, He said, in the day of His power, your people shall be willing. Another version said, they will be willing volunteers who will give themselves to you in the day of your power. They will become the rod of your strength. And through them, you are going to rule in the midst of your enemy. So, what we read in Psalm 110, and what we read in Genesis chapter 22, and what Jesus said in the book of Matthew 16, and it says, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. They are all pointed at the fact that he cannot get to the gate except in me, through me, and by my life. So this is where we have the critical matter to respond to this morning. The Lord must not be incapacitated because I am not available. The gate must not be left vacant for the enemy to continue to sit there because I am not carrying the King of Glory. And who is this King of Glory? We are told that he is the Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. So lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. And they say, who is this King of Glory that you are talking about? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. So permit me to quickly keep noting with you that don't be mistaken. It is the King of Glory that must be carried to the gate. It is the King of Glory that we must take to the gate of academia. It is the King of Glory that we want to carry to, you know, put at the gate of the economy. But who will carry him there except those of us that have been redeemed, who had been evacuated of the flesh, who live for no other purpose than for his own purpose. So, let's quickly now note, what is the nature of this life, of this kind of men and women that will carry the King of Glory? Because, you know, I kept repeating a scripture to you, maybe we have not read it, Colossians chapter 1 verse 27, he said, the mystery is this: Christ in you, the hope of glory. So when we talk about the King of Glory, the King of Glory, the King of Glory, he will only be able to manifest himself at the gate, but through you and through myself. That's what God has been looking at and he wants to deal with. And so for that to happen, let me show you some of the things that God himself has made available because of what he wants to do through your life. In 2 Peter chapter 1, let's read 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 3 and verse 4. There will be requesting Sister Shade to assist us, to help us read from the Amplified when we get there. But I'll read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 here first. Now, it said, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and to virtue. Please take note of this. Said, his divine power. All of you, his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain, that has to do with life and godliness. All things that is requisite and necessary for life and for godliness, he has given it to us for this purpose, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. I want to spend a little while on that because it's important for you to know that the man we are carrying to the gate is the King of Glory. And if he is the King of Glory, we don't go to the gate as defeated individuals. You don't go to the gate as people that are deflated, looking down on yourself, or looking down with your eyes on the ground. All the brothers and sisters that we saw who push, you know, the purpose of God, the distance in their lifetime, what they did, they recognized who is in them. Say, greater is he that is in you than he. No matter how strong you think the man at the gate was, the stronger than he is in you. The stronger than he is the one we are carrying. So when we get to the gate and say, lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, O ye everlasting doors. That is not that we are just making mouth. It's because we know that the King of Glory, the one that is mighty, the one that is stronger, the one that has the authority to take over, is the one that we are brought. And that's why as you be rising from here, you are going with the confidence in the King of Glory. You are going with the confidence of the power of him that never fails. Say, he has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby he has given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Can we pick it from the Amplified Version if you can help us?
2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Amplified Version. For his divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of him who called us by and to his own glory and excellence, virtue. By means of this, he has bestowed on us his precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through them you may escape by flight from the moral decay, rottenness, and corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust, and greed, and become sharers, partakers of the divine nature.
All right. Now, I want to note that because we are releasing you to go and possess the gate, not empty-handed. We are releasing you to go and possess the gate, not empty-hearted. God himself has bestowed upon us. His divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite, all things that are suited, all things that are necessary and sufficient for life and for godliness. And he has made this possible to us through the full and personal knowledge of him who called us. Who called us to his own glory and excellence. So I want to first note that every one of us, if you have been so called in Christ Jesus, you have been called not to become a second class. You have been called unto glory and excellence. Every child of God that carries the seed, you are carrying the King of Glory. And every one of us who is learning and working and perfecting and maturing in obedience, I want you to know that God has called you unto glory and unto excellence. You need to let that sink down in your spirit. God has not called you to become anything less than excellence. Because if we get to the gate, to possess that gate, we must carry a life that is far, far, far superior than all that have been there. That's number one. Number two, we must carry a life that carries an excellence that far, far exceeds. Actually, when you use the word excellent, that means it far surpasses and exceeds the very best of the best that others have been doing. That's what we call excellent. When you use the word excellent, that means there's nothing beyond it. It is as it excels. So we want to note that whereas when we were in the flesh, when the flesh was at work, the flesh does not pursue excellence except in comparison with someone else. The flesh is only interested in what you call relative achievement. The natural man, everything I see in the world, if it is originated by the flesh, is just comparative glory. The flesh is happy to be the best because he has conquered everyone else. So if he makes every other person a dwarf, he will look as if he is the best. It's not necessarily the best that he can be, but is the best around. Now, God is not calling us to that kind of life. And I need to speak about that very quickly so that as we are going for the gate, things that God wants us to focus on, we can do it quickly. Now, I said you are not planning just to be the best among the dwarfs. You are not just planning to be a champion in the midst of amputees. We are not looking for that kind of thing that makes you look as if you are big because you have amputated everyone else around you. That's not what we are looking for. The vocabulary of the natural is, I am better than him, or I am better than her. No, we are not talking about better than. So what are you to look for as you are going to the gate? The life that we carry is a life that has been called by God unto glory and unto excellence as a virtue. You are not great at the expense of another person. Your position is not because you have dispositioned another person. Please get what I'm talking about now, because we are going to trust God that this generation, there will be a generation of men and women in academics, in business, in the world entertainment, in the educational sector, in all of those places, and even in God's work, even in the church, God must raise a generation of men and women who are not big because they have slaughtered someone else. They are not popular because they have used their own koni-koni means to discredit others. They are not in position because somebody else has been pushed out. He is not envious or jittery of the progress of another person. We pursue excellence because that's the only way to express the life that we carry. This life is called unto glory and excellence. Please note that. All of you that are students, please take note of that. God has not called you. You know, I ended yesterday when we were reading that scripture. It said, he shall be head anointed. It shall be above only and not beneath. It will always go up and never go down. This is the ordinance of this new Christian life that you carry. But as you grow and develop in obedience, this ordinance of life will manifest itself in the kind of excellence that God needs. And I want all of you that are listening to me to please agree and believe with me. Because going to possess the gate, we've got to possess the gate with the King of Glory. It is his life that God is asking us to carry now. I know God will give you understanding because the utterance I need to make it as explicit as I can, I'm trusting that God will release it to you. Now, let me take for example, when you get to an office, when you get to where you are teaching or you are working and you are carrying the man, the King of Glory there, you are not just doing something for what anybody will pay you. You are not pursuing excellence so that people can remunerate you. No. It is because the life that you carry cannot be anything less than excellent. You do not do your best just to be paid for it. This life serves in the most excellent way, not for gain, not for the gain of prominence, not for the desire for preeminence, or for property, or anything that you can get. Actually, the man that you carry cannot be paid for what he is and for what he does. What he does far, 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 far outweighs what anybody can pay. So actually, this man is gracious. What he does far, far surpasses what anybody can give him back. Now, and that's the kind of generation that God is asking us to train, to release, to go and take over the gate. Such that when you are a lecturer in a department, you are not just teaching barely, just to say, well, I've finished my course. There's something in you that is saying, I must impart excellence to all students that are passing through me. It makes you to go beyond all your colleagues. And yet, you are not doing that because you are struggling. You are doing it effortlessly because you have the life that has that capacity. The life that you carry is able to call forth what has never been as though they were. So you can generate fresh principles, fresh methodology, fresh theories that will baffle your colleagues, and they will be wondering, where did you get it? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You are excellent because that is the only thing that is compatible with the seed that you are carrying. You will be head only, and you will not be tail. This is not because you are struggling. It is because if you just allow the life in you, if you just allow the King of Glory to operate in you, if you have understood that it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that is living his life in me, he will produce the kind of glory, the kind of excellence, the kind of power that no one can withstand. Now you saw that kind of excellence in the life of Joseph. That even though he was bought as a slave into the house of Potiphar, but you see the Bible reported and say the Lord was with him. And whatever he does, God made him to prosper. So you see, he went into the house of Potiphar. And as he got to the house of Potiphar, he was a slave, as they called him. But he was not a slave in his heart. He was a leader. The man that they carried into that house is the leader. The Lord is with him. Before you know it, whether they ask him to sweep the floor or they ask him to do something, Potiphar suddenly discovered that this man, whatever he does, prosper. Since he came to my house, my business has changed. So do you know what Potiphar did? Potiphar had no alternative than to do what? Than to hand over to him. That's how to take over gates. Please take note of what I'm saying. Potiphar had no other alternative than to release all. In fact, the Bible says, the man no longer knows what he has. It's only what they give him to eat. Joseph was in charge. What was the reason? Joseph was not struggling to be that. It was because he carried a life, the spirit of excellence, the excellent spirit was resident in him, because he said, and the Lord was with him. When he got to because of the way he was, you cannot imagine how the wife of a big man will be chasing after a boy that was called a slave. What was the reason? The woman saw a glory inside brother Joseph that far, far surpasses all that she married in Potiphar. And she thought that the only way I can be attached to this man that has glory is to lure him to be sleeping with me. Oh my God. And Joseph just said to her, how can I do that wicked thing? How? How can I sin against God? Sleeping with you for what? This thing was many, many months and days. This woman was looking at him every day. Lie with me, lie with me, lie with me. When Joseph will not give attention to that, she turned it to a real problem. Of course, Joseph left, fled. You can take my clothes. You can't take the man I carry. You can take my shoes. You have taken nothing if you did not cut off the life I carry. That's the kind of man, that's the kind of generation we are talking about. My heart is exercised this morning, honestly, to pray. You see, one of the troubles that we have had is that when believers get to spaces where they ought to allow the King of Glory to reign, to manifest, they put him under the bushel. And Jesus said, let your light so shine that the men of this world will see your good works, and they will do what? And they will give glory to your Father which is in heaven. That's supposed to be the order. But when a believer gets to a place, either because you have not been properly trained and taught that's the place God wants you to take over. He wants you to take over. Joseph was sent to the prison. The Bible said they shod his feet in iron. God was the one training him. God was the one testing him by the word of God. But when he got there, he did not enter the prison with a slave mentality or with a prisoner's mentality. Do you remember that as soon as he got into the prison, that same spirit of excellence, the Bible says, and the Lord was with Joseph. And so the prison warder, the owner, the controller of the prison, handed over everything to him. So all other prisoners were under the leadership of Joseph. Even when big men were sent into the prison because of a misbehavior in their office, from the king's office, it was still Joseph that was in charge of them. And whenever they had dreams and they didn't know what to do, it was still Joseph that they said, but I had a dream yesterday night. I don't know what it is. And Joseph would just draw from inside the king who lives in him and say, your dream is like this. In 3 days time, this will happen to you. In 3 days time, it will happen like this to you. You will be restored. You will be hanged. Wow. If you have a prisoner who can give such accurate prophetic word and it came to pass, will you still be calling him a prisoner? So it doesn't matter where you are working. It doesn't matter where you are located. If the King of Glory is the one that you have carried and you are allowing him to manifest himself, you will still take over the gate. So you can imagine that if Joseph wanted to just be eating all the ration of prisoners, they would be donating to him. But he knew that that's not about it. He knew that he was going somewhere with God. There was a dream that God gave him. When it was time, and they brought him before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh told this long dream that he does not know how, what it's all about. And Joseph said, yes, it's not in a man to tell you a mystery like this. It is in God. But I know God is going to give you an answer. And he opened his mouth. By the time he finished, the king himself was on the floor. Said, where can we find a man like this? In whom the spirit, the excellent spirit, the spirit of the God are. Where can we find a man that has this kind of discretion? Nobody checked anything else. They did not check whether he's from their country or not. Immediately, he called all his senators and said, it is by the word of this man that all of you shall be ruled. None of you can lift a finger except by the permission of Joseph. And in the whole land of Egypt, he will be in charge. Only on the throne will I be higher than him. And I want to ask you, was he actually higher than him? Because all the economy is in his hand. He was the one that bought everything, and we just said, Pharaoh, this is what is going on, this is what is going on. He said, okay, whatever you say is all right. When the people came to Pharaoh and said, excuse me, one, he said, go and talk to Joseph. You remember that they would come to him and say, oh, sir, we have a problem. We did, we do that. He said, go and meet Joseph. Joseph was in charge. Nobody asked whether he was an indigene or not. When you carry this King of Glory, you will see it happen. So whether you are in another country, or you are in your country, or you have been moved to one company or the other, let the King of Glory. So the demand we put to the gate is, lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, O ye everlasting doors, and let the King of Glory come in. But now I want you to note that it is because of the seed we bear within that is the excellent spirit that surpasses the wisdom of all wise men. No, I'm just praying that I could get you to understand that. When Daniel got to Babylon, and this man said, I will not define myself with the king's meat. I don't want, you know, when he used the word, I will not define myself. You know, for me, the way I think is that, how can you talk like that? What the king is eating. What the king is eating. What the big men in the country were eating. And they were feeling that they are really, really eating something. Daniel called it defilement. Daniel said, "This is, I can't defy myself." So you see, quietly, I don't know. As if he's saying, look, the life I carry is higher than the king. The man that God has made me is of a higher quality than all these kings and what they are eating. So I can't downgrade myself. I cannot defy myself. I pray that some of you will understand what I'm talking about now. I want you to know that if an unbelieving girl, even a Christian sister, is trying to lure you to do wrong things, that person is just trying to bring you down to their level. I wish you would have said, no, I'm higher than that. My life cannot be brought to this kind of thing. What of what use is that now? Don't bring that kind of thing here. Then you will begin to discover that there is no pleasure in sin. Then you will know that there is nothing, there is no achievement in going to sin except to downgrade yourself, to reduce the glory that is already in you. And I want you to know now that even though man sinned and the Bible said he has come short of the glory of God, now I want you to know that the glory is restored because Christ has now come to live in you. There's a King of glory in you now. And the Bible says Christ in you is the hope of glory. So now, can I show you what I'm talking about? As you are going now by the grace of God, there's a glory around your life because you carry the man, the King of glory inside of your heart. Jesus Christ. That life is a glorious life. It's a life of virtue. Now, you cannot go now and sit in the midst of your classmates as if you are classmates. I'm not asking you to be arrogant. I'm simply asking you to know who you carry. One time a brother was driving me. And we got to checkpoint. And they asked him to stop. And as he was stopping, I don't know what made him to do like that. He said, "Well, officer, I am carrying Brother Billy Akani, and then we need to go now." The first thing that was, I was even myself asking, who is Brother Billy Akani that are using him to intimidate the people? So the man came and said, "But who is Brother Billy Akani that you are carrying?" He said, "He's a man of God. He's a man of God." So the man came and peeped and looked at me where I'm sitting there. He said, "Oh, welcome, sir. Welcome, sir. So you're a man of God?" I say, "Yes." He said, "Please go." So I first of all was amazed. But then later on I said, "But I'm a man of God actually." And the truth of the matter was that when the man came and he saw me, and he saw that I wasn't perturbed, he just said, "Please go, sir. Please go, sir, and pray for us." I said, "All right, God bless you." And then we move. Now, the question I'm raising is that how will you forget that the man you carry is the King of glory? How will you forget as to go and dump him? And you go and dump him in the midst of dropouts, because you forgot that the man you carry is the King of glory. So you see, even though Daniel was made to look like they are slave boys, but he did not carry slave mentality. He carried the mentality of a man who carries God. So I will not defy myself with these things. And the man said, if you don't eat, your canteen." I said, no. "Test us in the next 10 days. You will see what will happen." I wonder where he had that kind of audacity that he was now the one controlling. Did you understand me now? He has taken over even the gate when they were in school. So he had to detect what kind of food he eats. And the big man, the man in charge, said, oh, you will put me in trouble with the king. He said, don't worry, don't worry. Let's just test for 10 days. After 10 days, they were 10 times better than everybody else. And from that time on, whatever he wanted is what they were eating. Even as a student, they took over the gates. And there were only four of them. When they now came for their final exams, the Bible said, in everything in which they were tested, in all the science of Babylon, in all the knowledge of their astrology, everything, said Daniel and his friends were 10 times better than all their colleagues because God gave them wisdom. God gave them knowledge. My sister, my brother, do you think I'm going to talk too much if I say that now as you go from here, if there are two, three, or four persons that are first class in your department, you must be, by all means, not only one of them, but the best of them. That is the capacity of the King of Glory you carry. And if we don't allow him to manifest this life, we compromise him at the gate. I want you to pray about this. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will give you revelation of it as we go ahead. Now, let me also tell you that the life you carry, we're going to read a scripture very soon. And please, you will help us. You are going back to read Ephesians chapter 1. You will read verse 17 to 21. And when you finish, you will still help us read Ephesians chapter 3. And we are going to read verse 20. Now, I want you to note, sir, that the life we carry, the seed that we are talking about, Christ who lives in you, is a life that is far above principalities and power. So when we get to the gate, and we are demanding, lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, O ye everlasting doors. Let the King of Glory come in. Don't say, let me come in. It's not you. Don't let Brother Gile come in. It's not Brother Gile here. But you see, the truth is that the King of Glory that is coming in is riding on me to come there. So they will see my feet. They will see my leg coming. They will see my eyes. But they will be surprised. They will be wondering, is this the man that all of us are opening our heart to? Yes, no, it's not the man. It's him. May the Lord make this a living reality for each one of you in the name of Jesus. Now, even as a preacher, that was what I came to understand several years ago. I came to understand that when they ask me to come and preach, they are not asking me to come. They are asking me to bring him. And so several times when, by the grace of God, I had come to recognize that it is not me they are asking to come. It is not me. And so many times, I don't even know what he wants to say to the people. And I will just carry him. And I'm surprised when I get there. I see what he does. I see the way he walks. I see the things he say. I see the result that he gets for himself. To me, this is the light to carry. So if we are going to confront gates, brothers and sisters, don't dump Jesus in the midst of ordinary dropout. That's not where he belongs. Don't carry him as if he's a mere man. Don't let me hear you say, I cannot do it, I cannot do it. That language should come away from your mouth, there's nothing you cannot do. He said, I can do how many things? I can do all things by myself through Christ who strengthens me, who fortifies me. You know, in French, they use the word fortifies. That is, who provides the strength. Who is the one working in me to produce this? That's why you can do all things. Don't let me hear you say, no, that project, I cannot do it. Stop talking like that. Many of your classmates, they may say they cannot. The truth is that they cannot. And the truth of the matter is that they should not be able to. Because what they carry is a natural man. But me, even though they think I'm their classmate, I am not actually their classmate. The man I carry can do all things. But the fact that he has not done it is because you've not given him space. You've not allowed him. You've not permitted him. Now, let's read. Will you please help us read verse 17 to 21 of Ephesians chapter 1. Please read for us. Amplified. She's reading Amplified. We need Amplified.
Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17. Amplified.
Yes.
For I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation of insight into mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of him.
Mm-hmm.
By having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you.
Yes.
And how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints he set apart once.
Mm-hmm.
And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in us, in and for us, who believe.
Wait, man. You see, we are coming to a man. I want all of you to read your Bible now. Because if you are defeated at heart because you don't know who is in you, you don't know what God called you into, you might be frustrating him at the gate. He said, I'm praying that God will open the eyes of your heart and flood it with light so that you can know and understand the hope to which God has called you. And how rich is this glorious inheritance in the saints? There's something that God is invested in me, in you. And there's something God wants to accomplish there. Don't say I'm a young boy. If you are young but you have collected the seed, Christ in you, the hope of glory, that's what we need. If you are old like Methuselah and you don't have the seed, you are a useless old man. Because all that you are talking about is the experience in the flesh that does not equate 1% of what Jesus will do if you are giving him a chance. So that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable. Excuse me, what's the meaning of immeasurable? That cannot be measured. When you put it on any measuring scale, the needle will just hit, because it's beyond what it can be measured. The immeasurable and unlimited, hallelujah! What's the meaning of unlimited? That which cannot be limited. That which has no limit. Oh, may the Lord open your eyes. May the Holy Spirit do something in our midst. We need young men that are going with correct perspective. We need the youth that are going with understanding that there is the unlimited, surpassing greatness of his power. Now, mom, please go back to that point. You are still reading that verse. I think you must be in verse 19 now or something, yes. And so
that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable
mm-hmm.
and unlimited
mm-hmm.
and surpassing greatness of his power
in
mm-hmm. and for us now, who believe.
That's where I still want you to stop. This power, this immeasurable, unlimited, surpassing greatness of his power is not the power just in heaven. Please get it now. He said this power which is in us and for us who believe. Another version will have said this power is available for us who believe. Mom, go on reading.
As demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength,
uh-huh.
which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places,
mm-hmm.
far above
all rule
and authority,
all authority
and power,
all power
and dominion,
dominion
and every name that is named,
mm-hmm.
above every title that can be conferred,
every title that can be conferred,
not only in this age,
yes,
and in this world,
uh-huh.
but also in the age and the world which are to come.
You see, that is the power that the Bible says God has decided to operate in us and for us who believe. It is the same energy. It is the same mighty strength that God demonstrated, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him far above principalities and power from the dead and seated him at his own right hand. Now, brothers and sisters, is it possible for us to possess the gate? I say yes. Is it possible for us to be the best anywhere we go? I say yes. Is it possible that when they are looking for anyone, no one else can take that space because you are bringing the King of Glory there? But I want you to note now that this power that is at work in us, that is working within us, is what God wants to use to accomplish all his purposes on the face of the earth. Please, go now and help us read chapter 3. I would have loved you to read it from verse 18, just for time. Go on reading for us.
Verse 18.
Yes, we get to 20.
Verse 18 to 20.
Chapter 3. Ephesians 3.
Ephesians 3.
Yes.
18 to 20, amplified. That you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love.
Mm.
What is the breadth and length and height and depth of it, that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses men's knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence,
amen.
And become a body,
wholly
filled and flooded with God himself.
Amen. 20.
Now, to him who by, in consequence of, the action of his power that is at work within us,
uh-huh.
is able to carry out his purpose
uh-huh.
and do super abundantly far over and above all that we dare ask
or think,
infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams.
But where does that power operate? He said, by the action and the consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us is able to carry out his purpose. Brothers and sisters, the question I'm raising with you this morning is that the purposes of God to be carried out on the face of the earth, God has decided that through his power that is at work within us, he will carry out those purposes. If God has not decided that it is in us and through us that he wants to possess gates, maybe he could have been commanding his power from heaven to come and do something. But God had decided that it is in us, it is within us, it is through you that that power that he exerted when he raised Jesus from the dead, it is in us and through us and within us and by our lives that he will carry out all his purpose and do superabundantly, far over and above all that we can dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers. What the power of God wants to do in your life is even beyond what you have known how to pray about. I want to ask, will you like to take him to the gate? Will you like to understand that God's intention now is that his seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. And the way he wants to work it is that that seed is multiplied in you, in me, and all of that. And everywhere we are going, we are men carrying the seed. We cannot be a generation that seeks his face, a generation that lives only for him, a generation that say, for me to live is Christ, for me to die is gain. A generation that goes to an office not because they are looking for food, not because they are living to earn a living. It is not just living to tag along. Now you are going to begin to ask yourself, I'm not in this business because I'm hungry. God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I am in this business to take over for him. I am in this office not because I need more salary. I am in this office because I know that it is time. It is time for the King of Glory to take over here and reorder things, redefine things, redirect things. That's what I am for. Even as a student, can it dawn on you that God has put you on your campus because the King of Glory has to take over? Because the King of Glory has to move. This man that I'm talking about, who carries the seed, who understands that I'm there to let the King of Glory take over, he seeks the kingdom of heaven to be established everywhere he goes. He is not just looking for job. He is not living for what his colleagues are living for. His colleagues are crying about this, about that. But he said, I'm here, the kingdom of God, let it be established. So Jesus taught us to praise every day when you pray. Say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And if there's anything about me, just give me today my daily bread. That's all I need. I don't need anything more than that. Because my God shall supply all my needs according to my riches in his riches and glory day by day. I don't have problem to be wondering whether if my need come, whether God will arise. He will. That's no problem. Not living here to look for food. The first man was not created to be looking here and there for food. He was there to exercise dominion. This second man who has now come to live in you, this is his purpose. As I begin to tie what I'm thinking together here, so what do I do? Because I have understood that that is the reason why he has created and given this new life to me He has called me to glory and to virtue. Something that the Bible now says you should do. And I'll read that. I'll read that and pray that the Holy Spirit will give you understanding. 2 Peter chapter 1. You know, you have helped us to read 2 Peter chapter 1. I think you read verse 3 and 4. Now, you will help us now to read 2 Peter chapter 1. All of you, please open your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 1. We're now going to read verse 5. We're reading verse 5 to verse 10. I think by the time we get to verse 10, maybe even verse 11, please help us to read.
2 Peter 1, 5 to 11.
Yes.
Amplified.
Yes.
For this very reason.
For this very reason. There's
adding.
Mm-hmm.
Adding your diligence to the divine promises. Employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop virtue, excellence, resolution, Christian energy.
All right.
And in exercising virtue, develop knowledge, intelligence.
Yes.
And in exercising knowledge, develop self-control.
Mm.
And in exercising self-control, develop steadfastness, patience, endurance. And in exercising steadfastness, develop goodness.
Godliness.
Godliness, piety. And in exercising godliness, develop brotherly affection. And in exercising brotherly affection, develop Christian love.
Mm-hmm.
For as these qualities are yours,
yes,
and increasingly abound in you,
they
will keep you from being idle or unfruitful unto the full personal knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One.
Mm-hmm.
For whoever lacks these qualities is blind spiritually, short-sighted, seeing only what is near to him, and has become oblivious to the fact that he was cleansed from his old sins.
Mm-hmm.
Because of this, brethren, be all the more solicitous and eager to make sure
to ratify,
to strengthen, to make steadfast your calling and election. For if you do this, you will never stumble or fall.
Amen.
Thus, there will be richly and abundantly provided for you entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Another version says, if you do this, the gate unto the eternal kingdom will be lavishly, abundantly opened unto you.
Widely.
Widely. What are we saying here now? And this is where I want to conclude for this morning. That because of the glory that God calls us to carry, every one of us, for this very reason, you must add diligence. You must employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop excellence, resolution, Christian energy. That's what we call Christian energy, not a carnal energy. The energy that emanates from Christ's life in you with a zeal to see the kingdom of God established. When I see a Christian that is lazy or is undecided and is not excited about anything and anything goes, anything comes, I say, no, there's something wrong with you. If I see a Christian who is not on fire, who is not living for something, who is not eager to see the glory of God established, I know that something is wrong. You can't carry this kind of fire in your bosom and be ordinary. So this morning, as you are going to join me to pray, because of what God is saying, and because we are going to send you out tonight by the grace of God with a charge, and that charge is to go and demand. Say, lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, O ye everlasting doors. Let the King of glory come in. In time past, maybe you are thinking that it's your personal ambition that we are asking you to go and pursue. No. We are talking about carrying the King of Glory to the gates and let him take over. Whosoever is in the gate, yes, we are told, Jesus himself told us that when a strong man has kept his goods, he will sit down and then he, but when a stronger than he comes and collides with him and push him down, he breaks the gate and then he releases the captive. A greater than he is here. Hallelujah. We have seen few persons in the Bible that tapped into this in a very little way. One of them was Solomon. And you see the kind of exploit that Solomon did because God just gave him that wisdom. Of course, he misbehaved eventually. And he died a poor death because he missed the purpose of the anointing. This afternoon or this morning, as we will rise in prayer, the question I want you to deal with is, Lord, I can't carry you and dump you into something useless. If I've not been living for a purpose, Lord, this is the purpose for which you have called me. This is the purpose for which you have saved me. So the need to grow, the need to advance, the need to add, he said, add, you say, giving all diligence, add to your faith, virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, all the things that he's saying you should add, exercising. Why? It's because the gate is waiting. And we need a man, a woman like you to carry the King of Glory to that place. We are praying at this point. But I think somebody should help me read the message version of the passage we have read. You still have message, Mom? Okay. Let's have you again. Help us read message. You read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 11 in message. Just read it and then we enjoy it and pray together.
2 Peter 1:5 message. So don't lose a minute in building on what you have been given. Complementing your basic faith with good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness, and generous love. Each dimension fitting into and developing the others. With these qualities active and growing in your lives, no grass will grow under your feet.
Hallelujah. How many of you are walking and grass is growing under your feet? Say, when you allow this thing to increase in you and is active, when these qualities are active and growing in your lives, no grass will grow under your feet. Yes, ma'am.
No day will pass without its reward as you mature in your experience of our Master Jesus.
You won't be wasting any day. Every day of your life will begin to have meaning. And every day of your life, you will be accomplishing something for the kingdom of God. That's what God is talking about now. And we need to raise youth with a mission. We need to raise young people that say, I'm not wasting one day now. Grass must not be growing under my feet. God has called me to possess gates. I'm not just going to be playing around. Yes, ma'am.
Without these qualities, you can't see what's right before you. Oblivious that your old sinful life has been wiped off the books. So, friends, confirm God's invitation to you.
Please, before mommy go on, somebody should tell somebody by your side. My brother, friend, confirm God's invitation to you. Confirm his choice of you. Don't let it look as if we are just playing jokes here. Mom, go on reading.
So, friends, confirm God's invitation to you, His choice of you. Don't put it off.
Don't put it off.
Do it now.
Do it when?
Now.
Now. Now. Now. Yes?
Do this and you'll have your life on a firm footing.
On a firm footing.
The streets paved and the way wide open into the eternal kingdom of our Master and Savior Jesus Christ.
Do this now. Do this now. That's what I want you to do now. We are not talking here and there. You are going to rise right away. No grass must be growing under your feet again. Your life must count for God. You see, when they say no grass will be growing under your feet, you know the meaning of that. It means those whose they are walking but grass is growing under their feet is that we can't trace their footprint. They lived a life that nobody can trace. That is not the confirmation of God's invitation to you. God has chosen you to show forth, to manifest His glory. And our sister was asking us to pray this morning that all the nations, they are waiting for your manifestation. They are waiting for you. And I pray that the Spirit of God will confirm this in your heart in the name of Jesus Christ. I end again. We are needing a generation of young men and women. And even if you look old and you are hearing me, but you are still young at heart, and you still have some few years to live before you finally cross over to the other side. No grass should be growing on your feet again. You must arise in this meeting and say, oh God, that thing that you have ordained to do with my life, I will see it done. So we rise again and say, lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Lift up your heads. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. And they're saying, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Mighty in battle. Mighty in battle. So lift up your heads, O ye gates. And lift you up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. And they say again, who is this King of glory? He's the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. May the Lord mobilize you. May the Lord set you on fire. This afternoon, after the Bible study, there shall be a time in all the centers when we are going to just ask that the anointing of the Holy Spirit will fall. We have started praying. Some of you have started experiencing the touch of God. And our sister said, we are not asking for that fake counterfeit, just talk cha-cha-cha-cha-cha and there's nothing. And after you say you have been filled with the Holy Spirit, Satan come and test you and you are falling flat. We are not talking of such. You need power to overcome, power to live, power to march onto the territory of the enemy and take over. Would you like to stand up and join me as we cry to God? Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, O ye everlasting doors. And let the King of glory come in. Where are you? Stand up. Let's pray together. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, thank you for what you are doing right away. Thank you for the lives of our brothers and sisters. Thank you for what you have started speaking since morning. There must be a Joshua. As Moses is gone, there must be no vacuum to fill that vacancy. And so, Lord, this morning I'm asking as many as have heard your word, as many as are hearing you speak to them in their inner man, and they say, I will arise. I will set myself apart for God. I'm not going to go away dumping him in the midst of rubbish. This morning, Lord, we are taking a decision to carry you with the spirit of excellence. Lord, I ask that you will breathe upon us now. I ask that your strong hand will rest upon us now. I ask, oh God, that you will set us ablaze, set us on fire right away in the name of Jesus Christ. I ask, oh God, that from this moment, oh God, an eternal open heavens will come upon our heads. Lord, because this is what you promised to your son, this is what you swore an oath. He said, I will do it. I will do it. I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven. We are asking that we have come to that critical point right now. Release your hand upon our lives. Set these brothers and sisters ablaze. That when we'll be hearing of them in different sectors everywhere they go, they are taking their position for you. They are making the King of Glory to be the Lord everywhere they have gone. In anything, in any office, in any work they are doing. Lord, have your way. Where are you? Can you lift up your hand and now talk to God by yourself? And say, Father, I'm doing it right away. I will not waste another minute. I will not waste another minute. I want to confirm your invitation on my life. I want to confirm your choice. It must not go down the drain and say, well, this one also, we don't know what happened to him. My life must never, never, never wash away as if it means nothing. Are you praying that prayer? As a young man, are you taking a decision and say, Lord, from this morning, I now bring my life to bear upon this matter. I will live for Jesus. I will live for his glory. I will live for his power. I will not be wasted. Daniel took that decision. Joseph took that decision. Esther took that decision. We read about them. But I want to now inform you that the position God has brought you now, he said, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. There's something in you now that is able to carry out. Is the unlimited greatness of his power. Are you going to say, Lord, from this day, I will do all my diligence to walk into this, to bear you about in my life, and to walk into your will, and that every sense of mediocrity, I cast it away. Every sense of lack of decision, indecision, I put it behind. I'm going to make a difference for you. Can you pray that prayer? I now want to speak to God on your behalf. And wherever you are standing, just lift the hand to heaven and say, Lord, 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 among men, among my friends, I choose to be different. I choose to live for you. I choose to carry you everywhere you want to go from here. God bless you. God bless you. I'm not going to ask you to come to the altar now. I just want you to stand where you are and lift up your two hands, telling God that which you have chosen me for, that which you have called me aside for, that which you are doing in my life now, not any longer will I waste 1 minute. I'm walking into it right away. No longer will I linger. No longer will I be looking for ordinary, mundane things. I have a reason to live now, and it is to live for you. Just lift that hand and let God hear you. Let God hear your voice. Let the Holy Spirit confirm that the choice he has made of you is not a mistake. Let God be happy that it is you he has reached out to in the course of this time. Please pray. Please pray. Call on God now. Call on God now. Before we go to Bible study today, call on God. Tell God that this life that I now have is for your glory. God bless you. If you have raised the right hand, I mean your two hands to heaven, just raise it. Today is a very important day as far as I can see. The Holy Spirit is bringing you to a very critical point. It will be on record. Today is the 30th of April. and you are choosing a life of excellence, a life for the King of Glory to come, a life to live so that the purpose of God can be carried out, you will never frustrate the purpose of God in your own lifetime. That's what you are saying to God. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. If you are not saying that to God, if your heart is saying, no, me, I'm not interested in this, can I beg you to sit down so that only those that are standing up and lifting up their two hands, I will cry to God on their behalf right away and say, God, look at these people. Multiply them in the nations. God bless you. God bless you. Do it. Do it. I can't ask you to come to the altar because there will be no space. But I sense that you can stand there, lift up your two hands and say, Lord, count me among those that you have chosen for this assignment. Count me among those that you have set apart for this assignment. Count me among those, O God, who through their lives you will possess the gate of your enemy. Count me among those, O God, who whether you throw me into Babylon, I will be like a Daniel who subdued kings. They subdued kings. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, thank you for all my brothers and sisters with their two hands lifted. Lord, confirm your hand on their lives today. Set them on fire by yourself, O God. Every anointing that is needed, every outpouring of the Holy Ghost, let it come upon their lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, from this afternoon, mark them out, O God. Mark them out, O God. It was impossible for Daniel to be lost in Babylon. It was impossible, O God, for Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego to be subsumed. They stood out. Kings bow before them. Lord, I'm asking that this meeting will raise leaders, champions for yourself in our generation in the name of Jesus Christ. All the hands that are lifted to you, O God, mark them out, O God. Mark them out for yourself. Set them apart by your spirit. Do it, O God, in a way that in days to come, in years to come, we will meet them in nations. We will meet them in different places. They'll say, oh, that day, I put my hand in the hand of God and my life never remained. I now saw that I have a life to live only to be above, only for him and not to be beneath. So will it be. They will perfect in obedience, oh God. Every discipleship opportunity they need, you provide for them. You will raise hands, oh God, that will launch them into their destiny in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us. Thank you, oh God, that such men like this, they will multiply in the nations. Some are just standing in their own different nations and they're looking, but we are not too many here. It's enough. 1,000, one of you will chase 1,000. Two of you will put tens of thousands to rout in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. As we go to our Bible study, we ask that this last bit of the Bible study release the power. Let there be an outpouring. And as we do that from center to center, let your glory break forth. Thank you for hearing our prayer. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
We thank the Lord, sir. Thank you very much for that message. We thank God for speaking to us so fervently through his word. We thank you.